37th parallel on America's Haunted Highway, it's Pixelated Paranormal, your guide to the unusual and the strange.
Hey, what's up, all you audio listeners? This is episode 337, Redux. I, of course, am Sean, and my God, have I had a case of the technological difficulties. And with me, as always, is Preston. Preston, buddy, how you doing?
What's up, all you cool ghosts and goblins, you crocodoons and crocodingos, skeletors and skelettes, witchers and witches, and whatever the fuck else you want to be. Yeah, you know, I'm doing all right. So, can't complain at all.
Yeah, it's my turn, man. You had that whole saga of your internet being crapped out there in the country where you live. And just in time for that to get sorted out, we had a couple episodes. And then my computer took a giant dump on me, and I had to make the unfortunate choice to wipe my entire hard drive at a moment's notice. And sadly, lost the audio tracks to episode 337 and 338, and then reformat my entire hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no good. So this is a little different. We're going to basically redo episode 337 for the audio podcast version of the show, and then YouTube just gets what YouTube got the first time around. So that's good shit, but we'll hit this one a little harder, a little faster than we originally recorded, but that's okay because second time's a charm.
Second time, you are
so
correct.
So here we are. A lot of people have asked us why we haven't done much true crime. True crime is paranormal adjacent in some cases, but we don't do too much of it. But we did come across a story that really sparked my interest, and we got to give our old buddy Steven the credit for this because he actually told me a quick version of this case when I went to visit him and his newborn son, Kylo. So
Big Steve.
There you go. One last news story. Steven, Big Steven, and his girlfriend, fiance now. Yeah, his fiance, Katie, have a brand new little baby boy who's about 3 months old named Kylo. And when I went to visit them not too long ago, Steven told me the story of the Rainy Street Ripper, and it's super bizarre. So join us as we jump into this really strange case. So the story comes from a Newsweek article from May 2023, titled Rainy Street Ripper. The story kicks off with a Newsweek article published back on May of 2023, covering the details of a missing man named Jason John, who had been missing for about 8 days until his body had been discovered back on February 13th, 2023, and was retrieved by Austin police from Lady Bird Lake in Austin, Texas. And while this is incredibly heartbreaking, the discovery of the deceased Jason John would end up being just one of many in a string of young men to be found dead in or nearby Lady Bird Lake in Austin, Texas. Because after Jason John was found on February 13th, over the next several weeks, there would go on to be three more additional tragic discoveries, with the body of 40-year-old Clifton Axtell found in the lake on March 5th, followed by that of 33-year-old Jonathan Honey on April 1st, and that of 30-year-old John Christopher Hayes Clark on April 15th, all in 2023. And while the local police would go on to address that while there were now four dead men who were discovered in Lady Bird Lake in a two-month span, they offered reassurances, repeatedly telling the public they found no signs of trauma to any of the victims, so they were going to rule out any theory about a serial killer. However, the suggestion that each incident is suicide or accidental drowning has not been received well by all, leaving the community on the edge of grasping the claims, counterclaims, and horrific possibilities. However unlikely, there could be a serial killer in their midst. So what's weird here is that we get some of the details of the deaths, and to many, the details just don't add up, like in the case of Jason John. His mother, Elsie, is one among many who are skeptical of the official narrative, and she doesn't believe her son committed suicide or even has doubts about the official version of the circumstances around his death. She said that Jason didn't usually go swimming or, to her knowledge, really go near water that often, and suggested that maybe he had been drugged on a night out with friends at nearby Rainy Street. Now, Rainy Street sounds like your usual downtown, busy, bustling nightlife area. Mm-hmm. We've got one here in Wichita. Yeah. It's either going to be Delano or actually an old town. Tons of places all across, you know? Jason John was last seen leaving Rainy Street after a night out with friends on February 5th, where he was drinking at a bar and then left his friends to find food. Then he was seen walking towards a trail around Lady Bird Lake. Then the next person who'd witnessed Jason was a transient bystander who was said that they saw him and it looked like he might have been vomiting near the bank of the lake, and so they thought they might have seen him subsequently fall in after vomiting. So said bystander ran over to check on Jason but suddenly couldn't find him where he had fallen in, and thus ran to a nearby hotel and contacted 911. Law enforcement shows up, they search the area, but couldn't find any trace of John until 8 days later on February 13th. Police found him fully dressed, with his wallet and phone in his pockets. John had no significant internal or external injuries, and said that there were no fractures or traumatic injuries found, according to the official report. Now, Jason's mom said that on the death certificate it says accidental drowning, but she's having a hard time believing that because Jason doesn't swim or go nearby any water bodies that she knows of. So for him to go near the water, either somebody had to push him or somebody would have had to get him and throw him in. She also suggests that there's a possibility her son could have been targeted by unknown individuals. She said that if he'd been seen drugged at the bar that he was seen at before his body was discovered, he would have been an easy target. But here's something else interesting. After getting his belongings, the family looked at the watch he was wearing that measured his heart rate, and the data showed that during the evening of her son's disappearance, his heart rate dropped significantly after being level for quite some time, which points to the fact that maybe something outward was done towards him. So when we ask about a possible killer, Jason's mom said that she won't believe it, that it was just an accidental drowning. She believes somebody did something to her son, and as far as the answer regarding a serial killer, she doesn't quite know anything about that either. But as we talk more about it here in a bit, most of the victims at the recent Lady Bird Lake deaths were young men, which has set off warning bells for a lot of observers and internet sleuths to draw comparisons to a series of deaths in Chicago linked back to the old smiley face killer. This was a series of events that involved a lot of victims who were said to have been drugged and abducted from bars before being killed, oftentimes with graffiti depicting a smiley face allegedly being found near their locations of the bodies. But Preston, you got a little more details here, so take us back and give us a quick rundown of the smiley face killer.
In a haunting saga that has cast a long shadow over communities throughout America, the perplexing enigma of the smiley face killer emerged during the late 90s. Since the year 1997, at least 45 young men, vibrant, promising, and full of life, have mysteriously disappeared after nights of revelry in local bars, only to be discovered lifeless in adjacent bodies of water. These unfortunate victims, predominantly college-age and athletic men, were last seen amidst the revelry of intoxicated laughter, leaving behind friends of joyous memories, only to meet a fate steeped in darkness and unanswered questions. As the years rolled by, law enforcement officials initially attributed these tragic incidents to the unfortunate drownings, theorizing that the inebriated young men had carelessly stumbled into the water, unable to save themselves from their fateful plunge. However, the narrative shifted dramatically in 2008 when two former New York City detectives, Kevin Gannon and Anthony Duarte, uncovered a chilling pattern that's... Why the fuck can I pronounce Duarte? Like, boom, don't even miss a beat, but I stumble over careless. I can't even say it. Carelessly. I know. God damn it.
It's the gin, buddy. Fuck. It's the gin.
I give it an F. F tier. Anyways, Duarte uncovered a chilling pattern that sent shivers down the spines of those following the cases. Their relentless investigation revealed a recurring motif, smiley faces, ominously painted near the sites where several bodies had been unearthed. This unsettling discovery led Gannon and Duarte to theorize that these fatalities were not accidents, but rather the work of a serial killer, a shadowy figure lurking in the darkness, potentially driven by a twisted sense of envy toward the victim's youth and success. Ugh, fuck him. Man, I'm jealous. Yeah, that's what he said. You know, that's what that read. Their inquiry began with the grim case of Patrick McNeil, a Fordham University student whose body was recovered months after he vanished under mysterious circumstances. Evidence surrounding McNeil's death suggested foul play, igniting the detective's relentless pursuit of a killer who seemed to be taunting law enforcement with their cryptic symbols. As they delved further into their investigation, the duo connected an unsettling series of cases, growing ever more convinced that they were on the trail of a mastermind who left behind these eerie symbols as signatures of their malevolence. Yet skepticism loomed large over their findings as official reports dismissed the smiley face killer theory outright. Many authorities contended that the deaths were tragic accidents rather than the calculated actions of a methodical murderer, or they just didn't want to be wrong.
Oh, we already said it was a tragic death. It can't be a murderer. We just solved it.
Despite the mounting evidence against their hypothesis, Gannon and Duarte stood firm in their beliefs, convinced that the elusive killer or possibly a group of killers were still at large, hiding in plain sight among the unsuspecting populace. As the debate continues to rage on, a haunting question lingers in the air. Is society merely conjuring a monstrous figure to rationalize the incomprehensible tragedies, or is there indeed a remorseless predator still stalking the shadows, waiting for the next opportunity to strike? The mystery of the smiley face killer remains unsolved, leaving a trail of chilling questions that continues to haunt the hearts and minds of those who seek the elusive truth behind the dark phenomenon. Also, I'm going to side rail us real quick. Because I'm drunk.
Sure, so why not?
My brother-in-law texted me the other day.
Okay, fair.
And asked the question, if you created a time machine or you went back in time and you were murdered in the past, would you be stuck in the, like, would you be stuck in this loop where you're, like, for all eternity, like, those events would play out? Like, you're always, like, as time... You know, time, the past, the present, the future. Like, are we in the present past or are we in the present future? Because, you know, you, like how that theory of time. So, like, you know, I said yes. I said you'd be stuck in a time loop. And he said, cool, let's go build a time machine and become Wild West Outlaws. Think about that for a second.
What?
Because has what we're doing right now, has it already happened? So technically, even though this is our present, it's our future selves past. And so, like, if you went back in time and got murdered, wouldn't that be like a loop for eternity that would always be happening?
I mean, I guess so. Like, this is a weird playoff of the grandfather paradox, right? Like, if you go back in time and kill your grandfather, then that prevents your father from being born, which thus prevents you from being born. But then if you, I forget how the paradox goes, but then like if you were never born, who went back in time to kill your grandfather? But I don't know. I think if you go back in time and you're murdered in the past, like if Michael J. Fox got killed, the only way to prevent that from happening would then be for your companion, like, you know, Doc Brown, to go back again farther and prevent that murder. But then I think that then sets off a weird string of events like the butterfly effect, right? So, like, I don't know. If you're by yourself, you're a solitary traveler, and you go back to the 80s and you get murdered at a nightclub after, you know, hoofing too much schneef in the fucking bathroom, I think that's it. That's all. And you change the course of history going forward. I think my voice just cracked like I had puberty. Changes history going forward. So I think that maybe in your timeline, like you left and never showed back up.
Right. But then, but then in that timeline that you just died in is eventually a timeline that leads to the future where you traveled back in time. And so it's like a loop that's like a paradox is always happening. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think, I think time travel is tricky because it oftentimes asks you, are there different timelines, right? Kind of like Loki, the TV show, and the TA, like, are there several strings of your timeline that go off in different directions? Or is it just one path and you just went back to the start of that path? I don't know, man. I'm not smart enough to know this one, but I think I'm going to have to look into it and see. Pixelated
Paranormal presents Talks with Jen.
Hard-hitting questions. God, I don't know, man. That's a good question. Let's look into it further, because I'm not sober enough to figure out the answer right now.
I, too, want to be a Wild West outlaw. Let's
all go. I mean, I'd like to go back to the Wild West for a while, but I think if I were to go back to any timeline, I want to go back to the 80s, dude. Like, take me back to, like, 83 to 87, somewhere in there, and drop me off in, like, New York. I want to see the neon. I want to see the nightlife. I want to listen to the music.
I want to do some blow, get some booger sugar up in there. Like, hell yeah, brother.
That's part of the experience, right?
Yeah. What happens in the 80s stays in the 80s.
Man. I think that'd be so rad, man. Again, plug another movie, why don't we? Check out the entire trilogy of X and Pearl and Maxine. Maxine's pretty fun, and it really did a good job of capturing the 80s nightlife, I think. So, anyway, well, as times change, so do the detectives and the cases. And so in the case of Lady Bird Lake, we switch out the detective duo of Gannon and Duarte and put in modern-day online true crime sleuths, with many of the theories about these unexplained deaths at Lady Bird Lake originating in online groups, like the Facebook group called the Lady Bird Lake Serial Killer / Rainy Street Killer, which has amassed over 85,000 members as of the publication of this article. But the members include many criminal experts, private investigators, and retired detectives. And one of these detective experts is Kevin Gannon, a retired New York City detective. He said it comes to no surprise that the deaths had sparked a number of theories, saying it was easy for police and medical examiners to make mistakes during investigations. The reasons why most police can't conclusively say there's no evidence of foul play is because most police now know very little about drownings. Drowning is an exclusionary diagnosis. In fact, most medical examiners know very little about drowning deaths, also only look for obvious signs of trauma or assault. Minus that, the medical examiner will hear from the police that in most cases the victims were out drinking, got separated from their friends, and went missing only to be found in a body of water. After testing for blood alcohol content and finding levels of intoxication over 0.08, and in most cases double that, so 0.16, with very little injuries, the medical examiner will then conclude the deaths were tragic accidents fueled by alcohol. But speaking more specifically about the arguments against the deaths being drownings, Gannon said most of the body's lungs weigh under 1,000 grams, which is inconsistent with normal drownings. They don't recognize the amount of decomposition in the body, along with the lack of skin slippage, which is inconsistent with the amount of time the victim was missing, and other signs that make these deaths very suspicious.
Ugh, that's skin a gross
slippage
word.
And degloving is fucking terrifying,
skin
dude.
Slippage.
Oh boy. In some cases, even bodies with serious injuries, which could have only occurred by human intervention, were attributed to falls before drowning. So you get hit in the head by a baseball bat, they're like, nope, Jimmy fell and hit his head. Gannon reiterates that while there's no indication the Austin Police Department has poorly conducted its investigation, the police and medical examiner's honest mistakes can result in authorities overlooking certain possibilities. I just happen to think, too, I think I put in here, this is weird. So you have Gannon and Duarte, and then you also have another guy named Kevin Gannon.
Could be the
typo?
Same Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin Gannon and Duarte? I don't know, man. Well, oops. Anyway, following the death of Jonathan Honey on April 1st, the Austin Police Department acknowledged the rumors of a serial killer, but dismissed them instantly. In a statement issued on April 3rd, the department said the investigation of each death was done at a time that there were no evidence in the cases to support allegations of foul play. While each incident occurred at the lake, circumstances, exact locations, and demographics surrounding the cases vary, and their investigators approach each case with an open mind and objectively examine all available evidence. Holy crap, that's wordy. Anyway, Chief Joseph Chacon goes on to address the rumor, stating, "Nothing has come to light that there would indicate that there's a serial killer in Austin. And I realize that there's a rampant rumor about the potential killer here in Austin, but we found no evidence of that. It is tragic. It is a horrible circumstance that we have. Some of these are accidental. Unfortunately, some of them are also suicide. When we can, and when it is appropriate to draw conclusions that some of them could be related, believe me, we would be passing that information on to the public very promptly." And so an associate professor of criminal justice at the Department of Social Sciences at Texas A&M International University named Hussein Sineglu said, "There's various reasons why police agencies may hastily assert that there's no evidence of foul play. First and foremost, so they don't harm the investigation, law enforcement authorities are often reluctant to publish any material that could raise concern and cause public alarm. This is especially true in situations involving allegations of serial murders, which could then spread mass hysteria and dread. Second, the police may hesitate to reveal crucial information that would hurt an ongoing investigation. Because that particular reason, they may choose to remain silent or share information with the public devoid of leading information. And a third, a lack of sufficient evidence, such as conclusive patterns indicating the occurrence of serial killings, perpetrator motives or opportunities, physical evidence, signs of weapons, struggles, witnesses, or suspects may lead law enforcement agencies to conclude no serial killer has been committed." So the findings of several bodies at Lady Bird Lake raises significant concerns and necessitates an extensive investigation.
In this show, we dig into the unusual and the strange a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, half those stories you and I like to believe, like, when somebody gets abducted by an alien or whatever it is, I like to truly believe that, you know, that happened and there are aliens out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you got to tie in the missing 411
sure.
stuff. You know, you got the kid whose grandmother was a robot and then made him poop on the sticky paper, and you hear things like that, right? But then you start thinking about all the missing 411, and there is this weird, like, supernatural element to it, right? And so, you know, is that supernatural element real, not real?
Yeah.
Is it something that we just, you know, make up to help explain the unexplainable? Like, there's, you know, there's a weird event where, yes, a child goes missing or a young man goes missing and his body's found. It's unmolested. There's no sign of foul play. And so we can't explain it. And so we need to start going down this deep rabbit hole. And so we make, you know, we make these far-fetched tales up just so that we have an explanation so that we can sleep better at night, right? Because otherwise, that unexplainable event could happen to any of us, and that's a scary thing. And so it's easier to believe that the boogeyman and the monsters are out there, and because you're putting an explanation on it. But wonder if that is the case. It's mm-hmm. not serial, like we go down this rabbit hole of it's serial killers, right? We see the smiley face painted on all these bridges. There's a connection. You have the connection that You know, they're all young men. They were all at the partying age. You know, sometimes, you know, water's not found in the lungs. They don't have the water in their lungs. If they drown, they should have water in those bad boys. You know, you go back to the missing 411. They're exsanguinated. You know, there's no blood in the body. What the fuck happened to all the blood? There's no puncture marks. So, like, you know, what happened? But whenever the police are in on it. And that's why they're saying, don't worry, it's not a serial killer, because there is a supernatural phenomenon that they are aware of. And they're like, fuck, like, you know, we can't kill this thing. This thing is unkillable. We know that it's happening. And so now we just got to be like, it's accidental, you know, like, look, you know, every 30 years, this thing is going to awake and it's going to take the form of a fucking clown. It's going to eat some people. Just fucking don't worry about it. You know what? Drink your fucking coffee. Maybe don't, you know, maybe go on vacation every 30 years for, you know, a whole year, right?
Yeah.
Like, we like to think that things like that only exist in the imagination of authors and, you know, like Stephen King, but wonder if there's some actual truth to that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why the police are so like, no, don't worry about it. Folks, welcome to Pixelated Paranormal Simple Syrup Gin Edition. I get really philosophical when I drink. That's the problem.
Right, no kidding. Huh? When you become Philosophocles, that's the name of the character that my friend Tony and I used to both take once in a while when we drop some serious knowledge bombs. Also, nerds around the world who listen to this show are raging right now that you said every 30 years, when in reality Pennywise comes every 27 years.
Yeah. You know, take your rage boner, nerds, and calm down.
Well, taking it back to literature, we oftentimes talk about David Politis's Missing 411, and we've had some viewers on, was it Twitch or Kick, asking about us covering Missing 411. And we've covered quite a bit of Missing 411. How many times can I say Missing 411? But there's also a book that ties back to this specific story called Missing 411, A Sobering Coincidence. And it is a book about strange disappearances. And it involves mostly males who disappear while drinking, partying, but to be found bizarrely in bodies of water, but sometimes only being like 3 inches deep, or in some cases being found like buried from the knees down in like gravel pits, and all their blood is exsanguinated from the body.
Yeah.
Blood alcohol levels of like 0.42, which is incredibly high. Eyeballs being completely eviscerated of any kind of liquid. Just really weird shit. So that's, again, that's that paranormal aspect of this whole story too. Like,
I mean,
we tend to believe.
My favorite Missing 411 story to this day has to be, you know, it was this guy, he was our age. He was the pillar of his community. He was a firefighter. He was like, went hunting every year, hunted multiple times. He was an expert of the forest. You know, he wakes up one weekend getting ready to go deer hunting, gives his wife a kiss, see you later, honey, mwah, goes missing. And so they do the standard search pattern. They start 5 miles, 8 miles, you know, they do the grid thing. They don't find the body. They're searching for him out in the woods for weeks. And then mysteriously, like 10 feet from where his last known position was, they look up in a redwood tree, like 150 feet up in the air, and his clothes are methodically stacked at the base of the tree, with his shirt, pants, underwear, socks, belt, shoes, and his naked body is just hanging up 150 feet in the tree. They pull his body down. They do an autopsy, and they're like, cocaine overdose.
I know, right?
What the fuck? That's the best that you can give us?
Yeah.
How the fuck did a naked man climb a tree that nobody, like, they had to bring in, like, special equipment to get his body down?
Yeah.
How did the fuck did he climb up it?
I mean, there's weird instances. He potentially could have got dragged up there by a cougar, a mountain lion, or just sheer determination and will of being just on the booger sugar.
No cougar marks. No animal marks.
No cougar marks.
Nothing.
Huh.
He was just up there, naked as the day he was born. They pulled his body down, and they were like, booger sugar.
Yeah, he had cocaine in his blood. I don't know, dude. The worst I've ever done is, extreme drinking. So I can't say what it's like to be on booger sugar and get up at the top of a tree. Maybe you get that hopped up on the old nose candy, and you find yourself at the top of a fucking redwood. I don't know. But I see what you're saying, and it's truly bonkers, batshit crazy.
I'm sorry. I derailed you.
No, you're fine. That's what happens. And then rumors spawn off of that. And rumors can be just as damning. It's due to so many reasons that fact-checking is not a common practice, especially regarding highly sensitive and sensational events, such as booger sugar tree climbing. It's easier for humans to believe an incident's accuracy if it's charged with emotions. Also, social media algorithms have a negative play in a lot of these situations, which are designed to amplify and spread messages on demand, including sensational stories. fear and outrage are emotions that are highly useful as triggers, and serial killers have that capacity to inflict fear and outrage. Therefore, any social media post, including allegations of serial killings in a town, get disproportionately more attention than statements from the police. We just saw that a little bit here, and I'm not going to get political on you, but we saw that with the algorithms here recently with the debates and with the recent political, presidential election. Like, I was on Twitter. Twitter's ran by Elon Musk. He's a big Trump monkey. So I swear to you, in the last 6 months, every other post I saw on Twitter, because I refuse to call it X because that's the dumbest fucking name in the world, but every other sponsored ad was pro-Trump, pro-Trump, or anti-Kamala Harris. So everything I saw was being force-fed to me, and a lot of them were like serious allegations about either crazy stories of how great Trump was or crazy stories about how dastardly that Kamala was. So, I mean, we see these ads, and they're used to really, again, sensationalize what's going on. That's what happens in a lot of police cases.
Yeah. I mean, here in, Wichita, Kansas, we had that a couple of years ago with Mayor Whipple, where there were, like, serious allegations came out, like, on a TV ad, and come to find out, like, it was a political opponent that had just made all of it up and paid some actors,
Yeah.
And so, what can you believe,
Yeah, and that's the problem, dude. And just like me, I know I've shared a lot of dumb shit in my past, especially with the recent elections. I put all sorts of memes up there that I quote-unquote did a little fact-checking on and put up, and some of them were definitely not wrong or they were exaggerated, but that's what we do. We take the rumor and we run with it, especially when it's emotionally charged. It's just something scientifically I think we're programmed to do. So then, of course, that brings out your distrust in the police of like, no, I have the real news here. And that's also, again, sorry to hit my mic. That's also not to get too political here, but that's the problem with this whole fucking idea of I did my own research. Well, just because you went to 3 fucking articles in your trusted news source and read each of them for about 30 seconds doesn't mean you did fucking research at all. You didn't read, peer edited papers or, scientific journals that were published. You went to fucking Fox or CNN or Twitter or wherever the fuck else you go and read a little bit. That's not doing research. But the minute you do your own research and then go back to social media, it starts to disprove and, it starts to take away the credit from police doing the real jobs, and thus rumors, kids, are bad.
I'll counter argue you.
Huh?
My counter argument for that is don't fuck with cats.
Hey, that's true. But I mean, also rumors fucking ruined that guy's life too. So while they did help catch the killer, it also ruined that fucking death metal guy's life for a long time. So internet sleuths, as much as they are important, they're also very, 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 very slippery. It's a double-edged sword because they can also really fuck over somebody.
That's right. Sometimes you gotta crack a few eggs to make an omelet, or however that saying goes,
Yeah. This begs the question too, and I'm not going to take away the severity of what's going on in Austin, Texas or anywhere else, but like, how much do false claims and internet rumors hurt the reputation of a city or a town or a region? Because even here in Wichita, like, we've had shootings downtown in Old Town and on the outskirts of Old Town, and that then drums up that rumor of like, fuck, don't go to club number blah, blah, blah. There's shootings and people get shot up when they come out of this club, and you don't go to Old Town after 10 o'clock.
That's where the gangbangers congregate.
Yeah, we see it. And I'm not saying like these downtown areas are completely safe, but like these rumors start spreading, especially when you're like, ooh, there's a serial killer in Austin. Like, how damning can that be to the reputation of a city or a business or, a metro area like that?
I mean, Wichita had a serial killers for years living among as a pillar of the community and the church, and nobody knew it.
That's true. Didn't answer my question, but that's true.
No, I mean, I think it can hurt a city's, a city's reputation, right? Because again, We don't have the answers, right? It's something that we're being presented, and it could be something as simple as these are just accidents. I'm not trying to take away from that. Like, if the police have truly done their investigation, and this is what all the evidence is pointing to, that it is just a simple freak accident, right? That, you know, this is human nature, that it is hard for us to swallow that those freak accidents could happen to us at any given time, could happen to our kids at any given time.
Sure.
Right. And so that's a hard pill to swallow. And so, unfortunately, we have to make something else up to make it make sense. It has to be a serial killer. It has to be a police conspiracy. Because of that fear of the fear of the unknown, and you know, things get caught up in that phenomenon. Like,
yeah,
you know, reputations of a city get tarnished. You know, don't go to that side of town. You know, be careful, like, you know, traveling there. You know, the wife and I went to Austin 2 years ago and had a fairly decent time. You know, we went to Austin not knowing any of this at the time. Like, this is all news to me. You know, the best thing about Austin is go visit the city in October, go to the bridge, watch the bats migrate at night. Millions mm-hmm. and millions of bats, like, underneath this bridge, and they take off into the nighttime sky. A lot of really nice restaurants there. We did a really fancy escape room, had some good beers, went to a really shitty museum. and by shitty, I mean, that's my thing, though. That's like, I really love those cheesy, like, you know, what am I, like, They have, like, you know, they have Bigfoot's frozen body there, but it's probably not real. And they have, like, all, like, shrunken heads, right? You don't go there because it's real. You go there for, like, because it's that 50s carnival freak show appeal to it. Like,
yeah.
It's crappy on purpose, and it's fucking amazing, right? Like,
yeah.
Go experience those things. But, again, like, if you get swept up in this phenomenon, then you're just like, oh, fuck Austin.
Yeah.
Like, Austin, a little overrated. Yeah, but, I mean, half of the cities in the United States are overrated because, you know what? There are certain things that are just people's fucking jam, and they talk that shit up. They're excited about it, and you're like, well, let me go get a piece of that fucking pie, and then you get there, and you're just like,
oh, dude, yeah,
this is not my fucking pie. You know what? I thought Austin was okay. I'd like to, you know, like, I'd like to go check out the comedy scene in Austin and, like, give that a whirl. You know, drink at some more pubs, have some more fucking oysters on the half shell. That restaurant was really fucking amazing. I'd never had salted radishes in my life. And I'm like, fuck, I think I might like vegetables for the first time. Thank you, Austin, Texas. That's
wait, it. I think I just solved the mini mystery within this episode. You had a bunch of good beer and oysters on the half shell, which is a known aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
You and Jeffrey didn't surmise this idea of getting quote unquote whips and sex toys and leaving them in the hotel room. You did buy them and use them and then were embarrassed to bring them home. So I imagine somewhere in Austin, there was a cleaning person who discovered a plethora of bizarre sex toys that you guys were like, what the fuck just happened? What did we do last night? What the
fuck just happened?
It's okay, baby. You're in a safe place. This is a safe circle.
It's like that. It's like that scene in Me, Myself, and Irene when he wakes up and he's like, "Oh, somebody had fun last night," and she's like, "You used it on yourself, Hank." He's like, "Why?"
Yeah. Oh God. Oh, late '90s humor. Well, but also you bring up a good point, guys and gals and ghouls. You got to keep these roadside attractions alive. You got to go to these kitschy museums. They might not be real, but they are real fucking cool. Anyway, in an effort to help lessen the chances of any attacks or accidents, City of Austin Council member Zoe Quadri has been advocating for a new resolution having EMS service personnel patrolling the area of Lady Bird Lake up until 3 to 4 a.m. And they said, I think just having manpower out there in the area, whether it's on Rainy Street, the entrance to the trail, or along the trail, I think there just needs to be more authority or more people protecting residents at those hours. And increasing safety measures should have been implemented years ago. But that's something they're trying to push for now. Anyway, like I said earlier in this episode, there's been a lot of mysterious deaths well beyond the four mentioned earlier. So here's a list of several other people, but not all, who have sadly been found recently in or near Lady Bird Lake deceased. July 14th, 2022, Ricky Parks. Official cause of death, no foul play. Investigation closed. Christopher Gutierrez. December 10th, 2022, no foul play. Investigation closed. Josu Moreno, December 19th, 2022, 9 days after Gutierrez. A shooting or crash, man charged with murder. So I don't know if that one necessarily counts in the story, but it is mentioned here. Kyle Thornton, December 28th, 2022, no foul play, investigation closed. Then we go on to Jason John, Clifton Axtell, Jonathan Honey, Christopher Hayes Clark. That was all between February 13th and then April 15th. But then Moga Degale, which is June 27th, 2003, this is not being investigated as a homicide. February 5th, 2024, this case is not being ruled as a homicide. Toxicology reports are pending. That was from an unidentified female. April 13th, 2024, unidentified person. This is not being investigated as a homicide. But, like, there's a lot of people, and again, like the Smiley Face saga, a lot of articles also bring up deaths of other people, especially Austin school teacher, and oh, hold on, that's kind of a shitty segue. So anyway, there's a long list of people, but the list continues to go on. And just like the saga of the Smiley Face killer, a lot of articles on this subject of the Lady Bird Lake, many articles bring up the death of an Austin school teacher and peace activist named Raed Hamad. Authorities said they discovered his deceased body floating in a body of water with his legs and hands bound together and duct taped, as well as his eyes being covered by duct tape as well. Later, they said they found his car at a parking lot near Lady Bird Lake. And again, here's things that make you go, huh?
Yeah, this is like saying that a guy did a bunch of fucking cocaine and went 150 feet up a tree, fucking butt ass naked before he folded his clothes perfectly at the base. The guy's fucking eyes were duct taped shut. He had duct tape around his legs, his arms, like his mouth. You can't fucking do that yourself. Get the fuck out of here.
Park goers who saw the body said the death did not look accidental. They said the man's face was wrapped with duct tape and his arms appeared to be tied in front of his body. But police in Austin said the bindings on his hands and legs and the placement of the tape were consistent with Hamad having done this to himself.
Here's the thing, money. You fucking do a whole rail booger sugar. You can duct tape your whole body by yourself. You can do it with the power of your mind. You don't need help with nothing. You can get duct tape in weird places. It's fine.
You can duct tape your balls to your butthole. I've seen it happen. I'm not just a spokesperson. I'm a member. Then back on June 3rd, 2015, Julio Santos, a 22-year-old University of North Texas student, went missing, who was last seen on 6th Street with their friends, chatting all night about an upcoming internship they were excited about at Nordstrom. Julio's body was then discovered 2 days later, floating in Lady Bird Lake. Austin police said there's no suspicious trauma, and even that Julio's snakeskin wristlet turned up behind the bar at Barbarella, still containing loose cash and his ID, and he is last seen at a food truck, which, I don't know, that's kind of weird. Like, you could drop your purse, your wallet, or whatever, your wristlet, and then be attacked later and not realize you dropped your fucking wallet. Anyway, the last one I'm going to mention here was back in 2014. 25-year-old Aaron David Rublik went downtown with his friends on a Thursday night. He was said to have hailed an Uber car to go home to Rainy Street, but the driver said he dropped him off outside a Holiday Inn near Interstate 35 around 2:30 a.m. Friday morning. And then his body was found floating in the water on Lady Bird Lake around 2:30 p.m. on Saturday by two fishermen. So holy shit, imagine that, man. Not only is this terrifying that somebody died once again, but imagine just going out there for a fishing trip, man. Me and you are just in our little canoe. We've had a couple beers, got a couple lines in the water, and then bada boom, bada bing, here comes a fucking human body just floating across the water. Fucking weird, man. It's fucking terrible, but... yeah, it's kind of similar to missing 411. We don't have a definitive answer as to what's happening or why it's happening. We just know that as of right now, a lot of people have been found dead in Lady Bird Lake. and a lot of people don't really know what the fuck's going on, if anybody. But there you have it. With a hearty edit, this episode's going to be pretty stellar. And after several drinks, I think it was a lot of fun. Although it is missing the key ingredient from the original taping, which is me stumbling over the name Aaron, spelled E-R-O-N. Yeah. I couldn't pronounce that for nothing. And you gave me a pretty healthy ribbing over that. So that was a lot of fun.
You were like, Eron. And I'm like,
Eron.
I'm like, Eron.
Hey, Aaron.
I'm like, Aaron. You're like, huh, what? I'm like, it's pronounced Aaron. You're like, you sure?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you fucking idiot. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, honestly, that makes sense. Now that I'm looking at it, yeah, Eron didn't sound right. Eron Musk, I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, God. I know. No shit. That's a lot of fun. I might give you a lot of shit, but boy, you give it right back. Well, I just want to say from me personally, I'm really sorry it took like a month to get back on the audio. This year has just been rife with technological difficulties, but we're going to make up for that. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up. I swear I say that every time. But this time, I'm not going to give away key dates because that seems to railroad everything.
It
but,
does. We talked about doing the, you know, the movie episodes like once a month or whatever it was. And tonight's episode, I actually watched like a 15-minute thing on YouTube about how Marty McFly, the original one, died in this key scene, and then it was Doc Brown going back and like saving him, and so then it's an alternate Marty, and then the alternate Marty dies at this key scene, and then Doc Brown's like, fuck, I gotta save him again, and then goes back, and so like there are like several key scenes throughout the three movies where like an alternate version of Marty ends up dying, so the original one's already dead, and so it's just like this alternate Marty that he keeps having to go back and save, and like that's and that's why he's so fond of, because he feels bad, because he's like, oops, like, because like originally when he's on top of the building and he jumps off, that's where alternate Marty had died, and so Doc knows to pull up there and then saves him, so that creates an alternate version of Marty again. And then they go fast forward in the movie. He gets ran over by a car, and so he's got to go back. And he drops the rope and pulls him up at the last minute. That now creates an alternate Marty. And so there's like boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, holy fuck!
Now this is fan theory or this is canon, which you can easily tell by watching the movie, because I don't really remember this being like a canonical thing. But this is canon, or this is this somebody's
this
fan?
Is like no, this is fan theory that they just by watching it, they put it together. Like, dude,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just like, you got me convinced. Shut up and take my money.
I'll have to ask my brother, because he and I have watched that movie several times, and I've kind of forgotten those elements of it. But I mean, if that's the case, holy shit, Rick and Morty really plays off of Rick and, Doc Brown and Marty in a more disturbing way. But
well, this one's way better than your last one, Steve. Who's Steve? Don't worry about it, Morty.
Yeah, no shit. Also, congrats to my brother and his fiance Ronnie. They'll be getting married here at the beginning of next year. So I just want to give them a little shout out as well. Well, for a recap episode that I told you I think would take about half an hour, I think it might be longer than the original recording. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a plus.
Good times were had.
Just don't go back and watch the live one. Just listen to this and be glad you got it.
Just listen to this one. It's fine. Yeah, you can, I guess, if you're really a sadist. But yeah, next episode we'll do a redux of 338, which is a alien abduction story that took place in the desert, but I'm going to fluff that one up. I should say we're going to fluff that one up with some additional stories of weird encounters in the desert. But for now, thank you guys for joining us. Sorry about the delay, and if you're on the socials, check us out on the Instagrams. We are at PXL Paranormal. Facebook is The Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. Preston, how we doing on YouTube, baby?
We're up to like 337, 338 on YouTube. We're up to 40, 41 on Rumble, 20 something on Kick. We have like two people watch us on Twitch when we live stream. So, I got invited to do some, a live radio show on Halloween, from a local talk show here in the Wichita area. So we got some new listeners from that that enjoy conspiracy theories, paranormal, and aliens. And so, you know, I plugged this on there and said that, you know, you can find us basically anywhere that you can listen to a podcast, whether it be, you know, Spotify, and, you know, Audible, Podbean, I don't know if Stitcher's still a thing or not.
I don't think it is. I think it died.
Google Podcast. I mean, there's so many of them out there. Really just, you have a platform that you like to use to listen to your podcast. Check us out. Share us with your friends. You know, from something that we started in 2015, this has really come a long way. As far as like the listenership and on the multiple platforms that, like, you know, if I just look at something like Rumble, I'm like, oh fuck, we only got 41. But then I start adding everything up all together, and then I'm like, oh holy shit, like across all the platforms, right? Like people actually listen to us. Like I feel like a dollar store version of Art Bell. I might be at better looking than him, so I might
definitely
not have
better looking.
Yeah, I might not have the voice of radio, but goddamn it, I got a face for radio.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to Art Bell, we don't know shit about fuck, but
right.
We got him on the ropes when it comes to looks.
That's why I said dollar store version. Definitely dollar store.
Oh shit! Fair enough, man. You got anything for Dobbs for me, baby?
Well, you know, if you need a beard, if you want a beard, if you want to grow the best damn beard possible, if you want to grow a beard that's going to, you know, let you have an awesome night in a hotel room full of odd sex toys that you bought randomly, you know, on a last minute notion, do yourself a favor. Go over to BigDobsBeardBomb.com. Use promo code PXLPARA for 20% off your order. I like Spartan. Spartan really likes spice things up. Classic sweet tobacco, bay rum. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a little island magic going on right there. Use promo code PXLPARA for 20% off your order. Again, that's PXLPARA for 20% off your order. Get it all. Get it at Dobbs.
Fuck yeah. In the Wichita area, stop by, see our friends over at Paranormal.cafe and our dear, dear friend Leslie and the rest of her gang over at CD Trade Post, Pawnee, and Seneca. And with that, I'm going to raise the remnants of this maple pecan old-fashioned and say cheers to the weird shit in the world and those of us that love to talk about it.
And I already drank all mine, so I'm just going to say stay spooky and stay on the paranormal highway.
The cast at Pixelated Paranormal would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode. Pixelated Paranormal is here to tell you tales of the fantastical, the strange, the unknown. Tales that will move you a little further down the paranormal highway. If you'd like to share your own listener story, we would love to hear it. Email us at pixelatedparanormal@gmail.com. Again, that's pixelatedparanormal@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Pixelated Paranormal, your guide to the unusual and the strange.